My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and El Camino.
And this week we are talking about the mid-season finale. We've got gliding over all this episode that was written by Moira Wally Beckett, directed by Michelle McLaren, and it originally aired on September the 2nd of 2012.
I'll die before I say gliding over all.
Yeah.
I'll do this fucking Chris Claremont shit.
No, not going to do that. Not going to say that. I'll pronounce all the letters that are there.
Yeah. It's a word, Whitman. You know, like it's not like a bunch of it's optional.
Yeah.
And this is big things.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's out of the picture. Walt has to figure out how to deal with the guys in prison who are going to flip. And primarily he gets out of the business.
Yeah.
There's like a time jump.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, where there's a return to normalcy.
Yeah.
Like we get almost a happy ending for a second in this.
It is so gesturing toward being a series finale.
It'd be such a funny series finale.
A very unsatisfying series finale.
I love it. I love the idea of it. Like just somebody do, you know, a YouTube edit where Hank just picks up a book and it's like Uncle John's bathroom reader, you know, and it's signed, you know, to Walt, clerk from Barnes and Noble. Hope you get that cancer taken care of. And he goes, huh? And then it just credits and like everyone's happy.
Yeah.
We're introduced to our second half of the season antagonist. The first half of the season, our antagonist was kind of Lydia,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lydia Todd. Now we got Todd and a gang of neo-Nazis, Uncle Jack.
Now, for people who were not aware back then, neo-Nazis used to be kind of a curiosity.
It's this kind of neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
I'd say still a little of a curiosity, like this gang, you know, huge tattoos.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah.
A little bit more crypto now, but you know, the sentiment's the same.
Yeah. Different kinds of people. The Nazi's a big tent.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that
like about it. Real expansive. They take all kinds, those Nazis.
Yeah, it's a big tent kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, very accepting. Mm-hmm. And the of people who are the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
In this rewatch, one of the things I was realizing, I hate Uncle Jack. He's mm-hmm. a Nazi, does a lot of bad stuff in this. He's got a little bit of the professionalism.
Yes.
That Jim Beard has
mm-hmm.
in this. It's good.
Yeah.
Like they made him, he never talks about Nazi shit.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit weird to me, actually, thinking about it as like, okay, how cartoonish is this? It's like, man, you got some Nazis in for the clout, but you don't have them doing Nazi shit.
Well, Nazi stuff doesn't come up.
Yeah.
You know, like I fucking hate Nazis, but mm-hmm. I do believe that they, you know, do non-race related crimes.
Yeah.
And do business and stuff and like mm-hmm. probably go to the bank and go to restaurants and do normal stuff. Like, you know, still technically people, even if they don't deserve the rights of people, like, you know, they do the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of like that portrayal of this.
Yeah.
You know, they're Nazis in part just to show like, hey, you know, these guys are bad. And then part so that they have the prison connections that are necessary for the plot.
Yes. And you know. Like the series has not necessarily like introduced or dealt with something. I think maybe because they didn't want to like steer into Sons of Anarchy territory a little bit, but like it is difficult to think about like the drug scene in the Southwest without factoring in biker guys.
Yeah.
Right. Without factoring in, you know, these guys aren't bikers. You know, you got a rockabilly in there and, you know, Kenny, the lieutenant guy. Like this kind of, you know, very specifically white, but like, real roughneck kind of, you know, kind of rough and tumble, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Just like that has not been part of the culture
it's,
that we've
it's
seen.
Never been front and center. It's always been kind of at the periphery.
Yeah.
Which I really like, you know, and they continue that, in Better Call Saul with, Tuco doing his truth lie detector on the biker crank.
Yes.
Guys, you know, and stuff like that. Like, it's always been kind of part of it,
mm-hmm.
Just in the periphery. I think one of the reasons why I like that they don't go make these Nazis do too much Nazi stuff is that mm-hmm. Breaking Bad isn't about race.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's not everything's about race. I understand that. But, like, mm-hmm. to the degree of focus.
Yes.
You know, the show that is about the American healthcare system and masculinity and pride and all these things. It's not about race.
Yeah.
You know, and you get that doing that in Albuquerque makes a sense. There's an integration to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like even our white, the Walter White, like the white ass, whitest ass characters speak some Spanish and get along with people and everything. Like introducing that in as an element this late would feel weird to me.
Yeah, definitely this late. It's just, I don't know. It is something that has always kind of clanged for me just a little bit, but it's not a deal breaker. Like, you know, I could not be in the same room with Jack, but I see what you're saying about like, oh, he's like incredibly competent. Like this is a kind of leadership, and being stupid enough to believe Nazi shit does not affect your ability to be, affect your ability to be effective. Yeah.
And thinking it does is, you know, is can be a dangerous.
Yes.
You know? It's also, we have to introduce him as this character who Walt is going to act like, oh, these people are just going to fall in line like everybody.
Yeah.
These are my like fringlets. These are people who respond to me like Fring.
Yeah.
And you know, just not even close. Like he has to like find a mimic, you know, he has to find something that is not even close to being what he thinks it is.
Yeah. Mike is gone. He needs enforcers. And he, like with a bunch of this stuff, is believing that he is more capable than he is of dealing with very dangerous, very self-interested people. You know,
and that's it's a good pathway to be talking about. But the thing I like about what Jack does in this is that Walt tells Jack what to do. Jack does it as long as their interests are the same and it's fine.
Yes.
There's so many scenes in this and later episodes of this where Walt will insist on something like it's a power move and Jack will just be like, all right.
Yeah.
And to say it because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and it's on Walt's end. He's like, you know, you're fucking scared. You're doing what I say. And Jack's like, this doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like I got a bunch of guns and stuff. Like, what are you talking about? I end up really liking the dynamic, appreciating a lot more this go through.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, to your point, this is like the fourth time I've watched it and stuff. So it's like, I've dredged this. I don't think I'm necessarily looking for it, but it's like any of that initial kind of off-wingness is probably burned off.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. I putting myself back in the time period, I had I made the joke about like, oh, you know, this used to be a curiosity or whatever. I kind of felt that it was a little bit cartoonish to bring in. Okay, so like, what's the worst of the worst? Like, what's the final boss version
of scumbag?
Of scumbag. And as well, we got to go to Nazis because that's the worst thing that we can think of. That's a little bit how it felt as I was, you know, kind of getting used to season five a little bit. And I think maybe there's a little bit of the residue on that while still liking the performances and really liking the way that, you know, Walt just doesn't understand the danger that he has invited in to his house, like a white supremacist Dracula, by thinking he could control them. He thinks that, you know, they're the ones who are providing a value and a service to him. They properly recognize that no, Walt isn't a product, he's a service, right?
Yes.
You know, like it is, being capable of the manufacturing is not the entire operation, you know.
It's, you're not Fring, you know, you're a small part of this. Yeah. So mid-season finale, as we mentioned, you know, for reasons that we talked about in the introduction to season five itself, why this happened, you know, just kind of split it up. We're treating it as one season.
Yes.
We're not going to do a wrap up after this. We're full speed ahead.
Yep.
And it feels like a season finale or a series finale. There's a really big burst of action, like a huge set piece scene with the prison murders. And then we get our happy ending for a second.
Yeah. Until, you know, that one fateful dump.
Yes. Yeah. And they do. I'm glad you have a note of this. There are 1,000 callbacks in this.
Yep.
They put everything, you know, it's really, we're back, we're full circle. Everything we've seen before. Do you remember Flies? They're back. It's a little annoying. You know, maybe the first time you saw it, it was cool. And then on retrospect, it's a little cutesy.
It just, they do it so much. It feels like there were multiple passes in order to, well, okay, how can we take this sentiment or this story beat and turn its phrasing into an echo? of, you know, something before. You know, like, we need, you know, Lydia and talking about this deal. We're going to make a lot of money together. Remember
people
that?
People clued each other a lot.
Yes.
In this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lydia, take yes for an answer. You know, like, people are constantly quoting each other.
Yes. The title from this comes from a Walt Whitman poem, gliding over all, mm-hmm. Through all, through nature, time, and space, as a ship on the waters advancing, the voyage of the soul, not life alone, death, many deaths I'll sing.
Yes.
You know, kind of talking about, the painting that shows back up, even talking about the deaths and then talking about what's going to undo Walt, which is bad book storage hygiene.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually what that poem's about. Mm-hmm. Walt Whitman's more abstract than you might think. And a lot of his stuff was about storing books in you know, not great places.
Yeah. Very much so. Walt Whitman's poetry books are about how to store that very book.
Yes. Leaves of Grass, the leaves are pages, and the grass, the fact that rhymes with ass does imply mm-hmm. that he's been storing it in his ass to get into poet's prison. Poets.
Yeah.
Anywho, I don't like Walt Whitman.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm more of a Robert Burns person. But yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember the poetry they teach you in school. Like, I remember like a lot of Walt Whitman and a lot of Robert Frost and being like, mm-hmm. fuck this.
Yeah.
Anywho, we got our cold open here. Walt looks at a fly. Is it the same fly from Fly? Probably. On a lamp at the desk at the Vomitos Pest Office, just kind of staring off into space.
Mm-hmm.
Todd arrives by taxi and it comes in, you know, Mr. White, the car has been dealt with.
Yes.
He ended up taking Mike's car to Old Joe's.
Mm-hmm. And to fill the silence, because Todd doesn't have emotional, let's say, awareness, is like, oh, it's real cool how they turned the car into a cube like that. You know, I told them, you know, do the RV job, just like you said.
Yeah. And it is cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, to Todd's credit, it's pretty cool.
I mean, everybody has a little bit of a kid on site in them. Sorry. Right?
Yeah. That would, seeing a car crushed into a cube would turn me into a kid on site instantly.
Yeah.
You know, should we deal with this other thing now? And they open the trunk, and Mike's body's in the trunk, making this an episode where every major character appears, technically.
Yeah.
I love this. I love Walt. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay.
You know, it's very, There Will Be Blood.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to talk about this. You know, okay, it had to be done. Okay. Like, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I haven't rationalized this to myself yet.
Uh-huh.
Like... and then unfortunately Jesse shows up like right at the wrong moment.
Todd closes the trunk, but he's very sly about it too. And he wants to talk to Walt privately, you know, very pointedly, you know, sends Todd out of the room. And he asks Walt, you know, did he get out safe? And Walt says he's gone, which he probably should have come up. this little, I didn't technically lie thing.
Yeah. Well, it's funny though with Mike, because the alternative would have been like, he was waving and smiling. Like I took him to the train station and we blew a kiss.
Yeah, no, he told me to go fuck myself and said, I'm headed to Central America. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah. Jesse at this point is problem solving. What do we do about Mike's guys in jail? Mm-hmm. You know, Mike's not around to help him out anymore. And Walt at this point is probably already formulating plans.
Yeah.
You know, just says, there's no we, who's we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not involved anymore. You're out. Remember? Yeah. Closes the door. He's still hurt by Jesse doing that.
Yes. The rejection, not wanting to be involved.
Yes.
You know, Walt showers. We get a glimpse of the Leaves of Grass book on the toilet tank. It's a load bearing shot.
Yep. The laundromat guy, Dennis, the laundromat manager, and his lawyer are haggling with Hank and the DEA lawyer, asking, you know, for a deal that is too sweet, you know, mm-hmm. dropping all the charges, all this stuff, all the charges.
Yeah.
And Hank, you know, is bluffing, playing poker with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go shopping. I got a million other dirt bags locked up just like you. Plenty of people willing to talk.
Yeah. Plenty of people to tell me things that I don't already know.
Yeah, it is a buyer's market.
It is very funny because these negotiation scenes, almost always the phrase queen for a day shows up, which is which is just a very fanciful way to refer to a proffer.
Yeah. I noticed that as well. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
good use of the lingo.
Yeah. Good use the lingo. Oh my gosh. So, you know, the screws are tightening on these guys. Yes. Walt goes to a cafe and he's in full Heisenberg garb, very much echoing Lydia, you know, coming in the trench coat and the big sunglasses.
Yeah. Well, he might do a murder. He has to, you know, he had planned to do a murder perhaps. So he has to show up as Heisenberg.
So he has to, his murder soda. Yeah. Despite the fact that it's
his murder VTuber,
it makes him stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. It's murder VTuber. Lydia, you know, is like, you should order something. Uh-huh. This would play better if you order a coffee. And he's like, I'm not thirsty. You know, he wants the names. I love this little bit of you know, giving me the names. Lydia's like, they're not written down. Mm-hmm. I have them memorized. And he goes, okay, get out a pen. Like, you know, this is dumb.
Yeah. Gosh, the learning curve on dealing with Lydia.
Yes. She says, you know, I'm not going to give those up without a guarantee of my safety.
Uh-huh.
And Walt says, you know, oh, you think I'm just going to murder you right here? Uh-huh. You know, I swore on the life of my children here. And Lydia puts two and two together. I like how people are not stupid about this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, Jesse puts this together too. Like, nobody's dumb about this. He's like, oh, this wouldn't be happening if Mike was still a factor.
Yeah. You know, she just throws that out and Walt can't hide his discomfort. And, you know, after a beat, she's like, okay, I thought so.
Yeah. She proposes a deal. She's trying to make herself useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a market in the Czech Republic. It's the highest amount of meth use. The average purity is 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt, you know, is questioning like, how do we do this? How do we get over there? And she's like, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I move things from point A to point B all around the globe. Like she's feeling herself.
Demonstrating that she values herself so that she can, so that she can sell her value to Walt. And Walt, I like this because this is like very clearly the right move. If you are looking to get a Fring like empire, you know, if you want those kinds of resources, you plug into the distribution. The sense that I get in his reaction to this, like, you know, just like, oh, he's kind of half-heartedly asking questions. It's almost like if it's so distant, it is not important to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to like do an abstract thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, like this, like it's the idea that just like, oh, he's doing this thing and it's sending meth. Like, not that he's into seeing meth heads in Albuquerque, but the idea that just, oh, this is too Kafkaesque, you know, like I'm removed from the fruits of my labor.
Yeah.
Also
like everybody is murmuring about the blue stuff about Heisenberg. It is this craze.
He wants the rumor mill. Uh-huh. And he also doesn't want to necessarily get involved with Lydia. Because Lydia sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and even though he does it, he can see that.
Yeah.
She's dangerous. And he says, you know, trying to poke these holes. He's like, why didn't Fring ever do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we were. Like, I pitched this to Fring. We were working on it, but then you killed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then says, you don't think that Gus Fring built his distribution network all by himself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Walt goes, okay. And she keeps selling past the clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is when we get the Lydia learn to take yes for an answer. And she writes out the list of names.
Yep. And they shake hands and she says, we're going to make a lot of money together. And then does a big bump
with
Tuco.
And then, beats a stranger to death. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, there's a smaller Lydia that's been walking around with her that we haven't mentioned. So there's all these echoes. She leaves and Walt picks up his hat and there's the ricin underneath. He was going to slip it into her stevia or into her tea.
Yeah. So back at home, Walt puts the ricin back into its hiding place behind the outlet cover, and calls to Todd saying, all right, it's time. I need to meet your uncle. And we cut to just the worst hotel room I've seen.
Yeah. It's real filthy looking.
Yeah.
It's like a Fallout 3 hotel room.
Yeah. good pull. And like, we're hearing a bunch of talk about logistics. It's Jack, Kenny, and then an unnamed third guy just talking about, okay, so how do we get this guy? There are three different prisons and talk like real nitty gritty stuff about like the chow line and who works where and who makes the schedule.
Do we have? Which guards do we have who work the schedule and stuff? This guy who plays Kenny, once you see this episode, you're cursed because he shows up in stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's a bit actor in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it is very difficult to remember that he's Kenny because he doesn't always have the handlebar mustache.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's a lot of just seeing a guy and being like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He looks exactly like Jesse Hughes, the main guy of Eagles of Death Metal, and probably has a very similar ideology.
Yeah.
God, that guy sucks. Hated learning that.
Not familiar with those guys.
Yeah.
But they're doing this. We're getting close ups on their tattoos, their Nazi tattoos. Mm-hmm. And the important, event horizon or whatever that Walt has stepped over is that he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
He'll be in bed with anybody at this point. He's, in this fugue state, still reeling from killing Mike, and losing Jesse and staring at this painting of a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was this in the doctor's office?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the same painting in the doctor's office. And he asks about it. He's like, where do you think they get these? Mm-hmm. Is there just like a warehouse full of this kind of art?
Yeah.
It's funny thinking about that now in a post Airbnb world. Yes.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. I go into stores all the time. I'm like, oh, this is an Airbnb store. Mm-hmm. Like this is just for crap for people to put on the walls of Airbnbs.
Oh yeah. That's like what Hobby Lobby's for, that and fighting against gay marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then, Thread. But yeah, mm-hmm. for the most part, you go to Michael's.
Thread.
Yeah. Michael's less evil. Uh-huh. Joanne Fabric, sadly, soon no longer to be with us.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So Jack says, hey, this isn't, taking out the guys isn't hard. It's the doing it within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And when Walt's staring off into space, he snaps in front of his face.
Uh-huh.
At this point, this thing he's going to do later as well.
Yeah.
It's never happened to me, really. But if anybody ever did that to me, I think I'd bite their throat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, if they snapped in front of me, they would pull back a stump.
Yeah, just a skeleton hand. I would have, licked it clean like a chicken wing. there's no way you get away with that shit. That's one of the most condescending things you can do.
Yeah.
He's like, but that part, that's impossible. Whacking Bin Laden wasn't even this complicated. Little fun air. Bin Laden wasn't whacked.
Uh-huh.
At the point this takes place.
Yeah, this is 2009, 2010. Bin Laden wasn't hit until 2011. Although when people bring that up, all I can think is, people definitely, huge conspiracy theories about, Bin Laden was dead before or he's alive now. These are guys who would totally not believe the official story about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Walt, Jack gets in his face and says, listen, I'm telling you, I can't do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt says, it's possible. The question is, are you the man to do it?
Yeah.
Just figure it out. That's what I'm paying you for. Yeah. Big times him.
Yeah. He's trying to swing his dick around. Do we know why it has to be within 2 minutes specifically?
Because they'll communicate to each other.
Oh.
I don't know if that's an arbitrary amount, but once one of them dies, word will get out to the other ones and they'll put them in protection.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it has to be before any kind of communication lines.
Yeah. Okay. I just, I don't know. 3 minutes would get you an awful lot more.
It seems like it. Yeah. I don't know where the number 2 minutes came from.
Probably because that's what they had the budget for in the montage.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Or just sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's about how long the song is.
Mm-hmm.
Walt
was very attached to that.
Yeah. Walt picks out songs for all of his crimes. Uh-huh. We just usually can't hear them because they're going on in his mind stereo.
And we cut to Walt pacing around at home and he starts the stopwatch on the nice watch that Jesse got him. And mm-hmm. this horrifying prison murder montage plays to Pick Yourself Up by Nat King Cole.
Yeah. Generally kind of still hard to watch.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty inured to violence.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I'm an American. I can watch violence and generally be okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot in a short time.
Yeah.
And it's a wide variety.
It's so many stabbings. It's the sound design, in a lot of it, but just I think there's a number, it's stated, in the end of Better Call Saul. It's the lawyer was stabbed 47 times and it's just
too many stabs.
Yeah.
This fucking 100-hand slap E-Honda shit, but with a,
with a screwdriver.
Knife.
Yeah.
Good. Can you imagine giving E-Honda a screwdriver?
Oh man. Yeah. No.
His efficacy would go through the roof.
Fucking overpowered.
Yeah. So really nasty.
Mm-hmm.
A guy's stabbed by payphones. A door gets closed, and guys beat a dude to death. The orange haired guy who worked at the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
is this guy who gets it. Mm-hmm. There's a locker room stabbing, a shower stabbing, a stabbing in a cell, lots of stabbings.
Yeah.
You know, the guy gets thrown over a cell block railing, you know, until eventually the laundromat manager gets the worst one.
Yeah.
He's been our featured extra.
He is in like a small, like holding cell, like almost like an isolation, kind of thing. The Aryan Brotherhood guys walk up and open up the feeding hatch and, splash, cleaning alcohol, like rubbing alcohol all over the cell and onto him, and then light a match and cook him alive.
Yeah. Truly one of the worst ways to die, like falling asleep. Hank is taking pictures with a girls' sports team, you know, just doing ASAC shit. Yeah. And I love this. I love Gomi coming in, like Gomi's face, like whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
And then like, you get to see him drop.
Man, it's real. Do you think it's intentional if they said, oh, whacking bin Laden wasn't this complicated, and then literally getting a second plane is at the towers, Mr. President?
Yeah, I don't know if that's intentional, but it's good. It's what I thought of as well. And, you know, so we cut over, Walt's playing with Holly, you know, and the news reporter is talking about this daring, coordinating mass killing of inmates.
Yeah. That's the most unrealistic thing. The news doesn't care about prisoners who die.
No, like, and immediately, uh-huh. Like extra, you know, and, he's, you know, remember the kids are still at Hank and Marie's, mm-hmm. Hank gets home and, Marie warns Walt, like, listen, you should be ready to leave. Hank's in a really bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
Hank, you know, Walt gets up to leave. Hank comes in, you know, pours some Knob Creek and has Walt have a drink with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Hank immediately drains his and then pours himself another to go sit down.
Yeah. Yep.
He's in a real way here. And they sit in the living room and Hank doesn't talk for a while. He just kind of sits there looking.
Yeah. I like this little monologue here.
I like it a lot. Not just because the job sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's not why I like it. No. I just thought it was kind of sweet, but this yearning for simplicity, I think is really relatable.
Yes.
You know, he says, I keep thinking about the summer job I used to have where I'd mark trees, you know, in the woods. I go out and mark them to be cut down. Mm-hmm. And Walt's like, oh, that sounds nice. And Hank goes, no, you know, it's all sunburns and mosquitoes mm-hmm. and everything. But I'll tell you, you know, that job, like maybe you should have appreciated it more. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than chasing monsters.
Yeah.
You know? And Walt knows what he's talking about here. Uh-huh. You know, this is like such a horrible thing he's done to Hank in addition to all the murders, uh-huh. you know, to the victims and stuff. But like, yeah, I used to love to go camping.
You seen how expensive tents are lately?
Ludicrous, you know. And we're kind of in a montage zone now for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. He bends down, bends back up. He's in a hazmat suit. And we get a montage. He's cooking with Todd to Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Little on the nose.
Little on the nose, but enough of a good song that I'm like, all right,
That just... It happens with the finale, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a montage. Like, you know, cash going through the money counter. You know, we see a crew putting bags of meth into barrels, you know, to ship mm-hmm. over to Europe. You know, Skylar's working on the ledger, the amount of pop that Walt is wheeling mm-hmm. in.
Yeah. Just keeps wheeling in pop after pop. And inside there are huge bundles of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, dropping off money at Saul's. Everybody's business as usual.
Yeah.
You know, gets another bag from Lydia. We get aerial shots of the houses being tented all over Albuquerque in a density that I find hard to believe. Somebody who lives in a city. That's a lot of innovation.
Yeah. But everything's been routinized. Right?
Yes.
Like, just the machine is set up and it's humming along.
For 3 months, which is how long we find out this goes on, he had the Fring Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything Walt sacrificed, everything he did, gets him what he wanted for 3 months.
Yes.
You know? We cut over, you know, Skylar's helping Holly walk mm-hmm. over at Hank and Marie's. Everyone's having a pretty good time.
Yeah.
You know, Flynn's having a good time. Lewis calls.
Lewis recovered, found alive at the bottom of the well.
That's not Lewis. The dumb beat fucking naive. Like,
okay, all right. Sorry. Sorry.
That's one of Mike's guys.
You're going to tell me Santa's not real now?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
No. It's one of Mike's guys. It's Decoy Octopus.
Yeah. Yeah. that is not Lewis. And Marie's like, you know, it's nice to see you so happy again. Like, things have improved. And I love this bit too. Like the, you know, listen, you know, maybe it's time to take the kids home. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, at some point, like says, you know, maybe the best way to repair the family is to repair the family, mm-hmm. you know, like do it. Yeah. And this, you know, sets gears moving in Skylar's head.
Yes.
You know, she goes home. Walt's just staring into the middle distance of the pool. He has what he wants. He doesn't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, take a drive with me. Also, something Gus said, mm-hmm. you know, we're nothing but callbacks.
Yeah.
And takes him to the storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's been keeping his money.
Yeah. You know, she pulls a sheet off of it. There's like a dehumidifier in there. Like, and there's also a scale, like a bathroom scale.
Yeah.
And she pulls a sheet off of this, just, it's pallets of money. It's gigantic, you know, and she kind of gives this little speech. Like, I gave up on counting it. I tried doing it by weight, but there's a variety of denominations, you know, like all that I do is spray it for silverfish. Which I like that, because the logistics of keeping that kind of cash is something that like big criminals talk about things about money. It deteriorates really fastly. It fucking stinks. It's heavy. It's really heavy.
Yeah. And silverfish love it.
Yeah.
Like they're greedy. you know, she doesn't even know how much is there.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, they estimated it, Gillian said 80 million, 80 million is what they're going to land on,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they start talking about it later.
Yes.
But, he's just talking to the prop guy. He's like, I don't fucking know. I just need a lot of money, you know? And she basically said, I can't launder this. And I couldn't launder this with 100 car washes.
It's more than we can spend in a lifetime.
Yeah. This is crazy. You know, like I just want my kids back.
Mm-hmm.
How much is enough? How big does this pile have to be?
Yeah.
And it gets through to Walt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, again, like right on the edge of this, right, as he's about to fall into an absolute world of shit, like mm-hmm. he does get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, he gets the stability before it all comes down.
Yeah. He gets to this point and it is empty for him based on the performance, right?
Yes.
Like to get this, he had to give up everything. He is alone.
Well, he refills though, right? Yep. So like at the end of this episode, we get to this point where it's like he's happy again. Like mm-hmm. I genuinely believe he's pretty happy.
Oh yeah, he's happy. He's happy, but there's a time skip, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, after yeah, he gets there.
Yeah, he has to get out to start rebuilding like the part of his life that matters, right?
And he does. He's capable. Mm-hmm. That was on the table. That's not gone forever.
Yeah,
you know, that's the tragedy of it. Mm-hmm. So we see him getting a CAT scan again. You know, this time rotating with his right side up. This was going to come back as negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to leave it ambiguous.
Yeah.
So they had room to move. And then they changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
He washes his hands. He looks at the paper towel dispenser that he had punched
mm-hmm.
before. A lot of good memories there. Jesse is sleeping on the futon in his house, you know, holding a lit cigarette. It burns him. And hears a knocking at the door.
I love this scene so fucking much.
This is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he fell asleep sitting up, like in a silent room. Jesse is not living well. And he opens the door, it's Walt, and Jesse looks terrified. Like he's kind of staring through, he's got most of his body inside, like hiding behind the door. The body language in this, really shows, you know, like he has been living in fear of what Walt will do because he is a loose end.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, Jesse invites him in, hides his bong. You know, and they're making small talk. Well, it's like, oh, you didn't move. You know, he's like, well, I didn't have to. Saul told me what you did. You know, like, fuck. You know, Walt says there's no other option. And Jesse starts thinking he's playing him. Mm-hmm. He's working him. He's like, listen, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
You know, why are you here? And Walt feels nostalgic
mm-hmm.
during this. And again, any of this stuff where they're nostalgic for the RV is sweet to me.
Yeah.
Like this all works on me pretty well.
You know, it's a little bit of an echo, of the Elliot's birthday party, you know, where he, you know, it's like just reminisces about we used to eat this ramen all the time. It's the perfect gift, you know,
and the Bounder used to belong to Clapton. It's one of Clapton, so that's the other.
It was Clapton's tour. It was kind of, it was
Captain, his Clapton's tour Bounder.
Yeah, it's his tour RV. Yeah. But yeah, no, just reminiscing about the small days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When the style, you know, is simpler, you uh-huh. know, similar to what Hank's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, I saw a Bounder the other day, you know, they talk about like how shitty it was, you know, gas gauge didn't work. It always read as half full.
Uh-huh.
You know, it'll do all this stuff. And Jesse's like, why did we keep it?
Uh-huh.
Like, why didn't we get something better? We had the money.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it when people have those kind of questions. Like, you think about stuff like that, and it's like, that happens to me all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you just think back on a decision you made when you didn't realize you were making a decision.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just very, very human.
Yeah. And just, you know, then they arrive, you know, just inertia. Yeah, inertia. This is also fun because, like, we didn't see everything. They were out there for a long time. Just this little story that could have been, like, a part of an episode in season one. You could totally see it. Like, oh, yeah, I know we ran out of gas. And now, you know, you had to walk all these miles in the desert to get a, you know, to get a jerry can. And I was just praying that no cop showed up and tried to help. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. You know, Jesse's like, well, you know, I got to get going. Well, oh, I got to get going too. You know, but I have something for you. Jesse steps out as Walt pulls away, and there's a duffel bag, two duffel bags on the step. And it's his 5 million, you know, it's his cut. He no longer wants to hold it over his head.
Yes.
And then we get this realization, you know, Jesse comes in, he collapses against the wall, nervous, and he slides it. He takes his gun out.
Mm-hmm.
He had armed himself because he thought Walt was maybe going to kill him.
Yeah. 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 You know, slides it away, and he just a huge, like, unclenching here. And this is not a favor, what Walt did here.
No, he thinks it's a favor.
Yeah.
He's not doing it. You know, there's no malice in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to him, he's just like, oh, you earned this just as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
You retire as well.
Yeah. There is no sense in me holding on to it. Like, $5 million will not make a difference in my life.
Yeah. Well, not even just that, just also, like, I think he's actually feeling warm and nostalgic.
Yeah.
Towards
true.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing it because he wants him to have a happy ending too.
Yes.
And the difference is that he can compartmentalize and move on, and Jesse can't.
No.
You know, we get the beginning of El Camino or whatever, when, like, he's talking to Mike and he's like, I don't know, make up for things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike says, that's never an option.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You've worked up a debt that you can never pay off. You just have to learn how to live with it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not a flaw. You know, it's a strength of character, but that's Jesse's thing, is he never can.
Yes.
He's never been able to. He can't suffer these injustices. He cannot live with the things he's done. You know, Walt's excellent at it. Mm-hmm. And Jesse is horrible at it.
Yeah. And Walt returns home, and Skylar's washing dishes. He turns off the faucet and says, I'm out. And I love this decision to kind of linger on her as she's trying to process it. He just walks away. Like, he's not there to, like, you know, receive her appreciation or gratitude. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. This is as close to Walt gets to good in a long time.
Yes.
Like, obviously he's done all this horrible shit, but there's no malice here right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we cut to some time away. The family is having a party.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Holly's walking.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing normal stuff. They're making really banal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves it.
Yeah. Marie and Skylar talking about hair care. Hank and Walt talking about brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Walt and Skylar share this look, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is okay.
This is nice, right?
Yeah. You know, however, Hank can't keep his big asshole closed.
Nope.
His big old rectum must be heard.
Yeah.
And ruins everything.
Mighty roar.
Yes.
Yeah, excuses himself to go to the restroom and then sits down, take a big old shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he shuffles through the reading material, picks up a magazine, puts it down. And underneath the magazines is the Leaves of Grass book.
Yeah. He opens it up. He sees the inscription, you know, to my other favorite WW. And I wish we didn't get this flashback.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I understand, like, you know, it's been a minute, been a couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
We get a flashback to the conversation he had with Walt during Gail's murder, and with Hank going, you know, WW, who do you think that is? You know, Woodrow Wilson, Willy Wonka, Walter White. And then, you know, with Walt going, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
Here. There's that funny cut of him just doing all the W names he can think of.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that on YouTube. I think it's very funny. He just keeps going.
I think we talked about that, and it's like an outtake on the DVD.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. And Hank gives a Kubrick stare. I can't remember if I saw this edit or if I just thought of making it, but, like, there has to be the, you know, just, okay, you're staring, and then it cuts to credits, and there's no music there. There has to be, like, just the sound of, like, just turds hitting water, right?
I thought,
like, kabrook.
So you and I, we great minds think alike. So I was thinking about that, but then I was thinking, if this happened to me, I wouldn't be able to shit for a month.
Oh, yeah.
So like, this would block me up. I understand in the semiotics of TV, like when something shocking happens, you shit, you know? But in real life, like my GI would be like, you're going to need me for a while, brother. And just like fucking go to Belize. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah. You know, I don't, I'm a stress evacuator. Yeah. So I could totally see, but like, he's already there.
Hey, I'm more of a hoarder. It's like the ant and the grasshopper story.
he's got one on deck. Otherwise he wouldn't be in there. Right.
There's one in the chamber. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
And also the comedy timing of it seems very obvious and funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was just picturing, you know, like, I don't know if I saw that or if I just have always thought about making it, but there just needs to be just that one little sound effect. Because I think
add a little kerplunk and then a Walt.
not to be prurient, but
he did is a important shit that has like undone everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
He almost got away.
If if they had other magazines, one of the things is they're all like Skylar coded magazine. It's all like Home and Garden. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Like, let's say Junior had like a cool hot rod magazine there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hank would look through that. There's a lot of things that could have been different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was just going to keep that book laying around, he should have like gotten like Geologist Today to put on to put above it.
Yeah. He also, I love that, he admits it's a mistake for him to have left the book, and he could have had the book and got rid of the inscription, but he doesn't want to. Like, on some level, even though he had, had Gale killed, Gale admiring him this much and comparing him to the learned astronomer is like vitamins to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another thing that he's earned. Like, I've done all this stuff, but I can be proud of this.
Yeah.
You know, with the cognitive, the cognitive, like, contradiction of like, yeah, but you had that guy fucking killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about him being able to double think and Jesse not being able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's really rich.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about the fifth season, I've been watching ahead into the second half of the fifth season.
Yeah.
And you get some obvious lines in it that in a vacuum, I think feel melodramatic more so than the show usually is. But the plotting is still really, really good.
Yeah.
Like the actual, plot construction is still really mind blowing to me. Like, you know, thinking about like during the shootout at the end, like Hank can't call for backup because he doesn't know where he is.
Yep.
You know, like what's he going to do?
Uh-huh.
Like I'm somewhere in this entire reservation.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all these things that come together to make it awful in the exact right way.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, up to and including like the, just the horrible kind of standstill that they're at.
Like the
actual position that Hank is stuck in, right?
Yes.
Which is just miserable and kind of fuels this like way more tense game of cat and mouse or cat and also cat. That kind of plays out. Like if it was just simple like this, you know, just immediately he would he wouldn't even wipe. He would get up and call in an airstrike on the wall.
The incredible.
On the Walter White position. Yeah.
Is it mad like him washing his hands before shaking hands with Raimi? He'd be walking around Porky Pig in it the whole time.
Yeah, but like just I don't know, just the kind of the new status quo that this immediately sets into and setting up the this kind of confrontation that has been looming the entire time, and they were really gesturing toward not paying off on.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think this is a good show.
You know, I think we should do several seasons of a show about it.
Yeah. If people like this episode and the show, please, we appreciate you. If you want to support the network, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also leave ratings, reviews, and tell your friends.
Please. If you have thoughts about season 5, the entirety, not just the first half or the second half, now abouts would be a good time to start writing in with your thoughts. Go to duckfeed.tv/contact, click the best quality vacuum button and write in. Try and keep it specific, but also we're in wrap up time. So if you have thoughts about the progression of the series as a whole, this might be the time to put them. I'm bringing it up now at the halfway point because we're probably going to start recording ahead a little bit.
Yes. We're recording ahead a little bit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we're ahead a little bit and we're going to continue to be a little bit ahead. Mm-hmm. Just giving us some cushion and stuff. Part of the 2025 work-life balance.
Yes.
Thing. So we appreciate you joining us also in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. She also composed our theme song.
Yeah. And what kind of person doesn't bring a phone to the bathroom? I understand this is around 2010, but like you can play Snake.
You really should have read the shampoo bottle. Come on.
Yeah.